think it'll affect me all that much. I am away from the home turf in sunny, well, okay, cloudy, downtown, well, okay, not really downtown, out of town, Dayton, Ohio, relatively close to those folks at AM 740, down there in Cincy, our big affiliate. Delighted to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. I'm probably about no more than half a mile from the National Aviation and Space Museum, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That is a manly place. This whole show is going to be a lot more manly because I'm so close to that. I can feel the ambiance all the way from Wilbur and Orville to one small step for man. Oh, sorry. One small step for person. A giant leap for man. A giant leap for people kind. Yep, that's what we got to have a quote there on old Neil Armstrong. Small step for persons, a giant leap for people kind. How's that on the side of a spaceship, huh? Delighted to have you with me. It's great down here. Just spent the morning with some delightful folks. 3-hour workshop, had a lot of fun. You know, I'm a little spoiled. Got all these women hanging on my every word. In college, I couldn't even get a girl to listen. Now, they want to know what I have to say. Not because they love me. They're desperate. That's right. They never thought a 7-year-old could outfox them. But they're willing to hang on my every word just to pull themselves out from under the fox trap. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call to get on to the program here on The Doctor Is In. I'm the doctor who is in. You can be in if you call that number and have a question or comment. We do allow you to help other people on this program in a generosity of spirit. We ask that you give from your experience, your expertise. We get a lot of folks here who know what they're talking about. Wish I did more often. Their expertise to offer suggestions for something that you're dealing with, problem, situation, kid, job stress, marital. Okay, enough said. I don't know where I was. It's not one of those flashbulb memories, you know. Those of you who are older, you know exactly where you were when you first heard that President Kennedy was shot, or the space shuttle disaster, or 9/11, when you first saw the pictures of the towers. Those are called flashbulb memories. Well, I don't know where I was when I first heard this, but it is a study that didn't totally surprise me, and yet they're making a big deal out of it, because there's been quite a bit of other research to say this, but maybe this study is impactful in its raw size. They concluded, and I don't have the specifics on who the researchers were and what university they were associated with. I think the might have been the university I went to, Bob's University and Grill. Yeah. Anyway, they concluded that for mild to moderate depression, antidepressant medication is no more effective than your basic sugar pill. You got that? Think about the implications of this. Mild to moderate depression, leaving aside the much more severe forms of depression, which tend to be biochemically based in the sense that they're out of whack. The chemicals are out of whack. I mean, you could make the argument that every depression at some point is biochemically involved, because that's how we think. We got chemicals. Soul plays upon the chemicals much like a person plays upon a piano. But the study said mild to moderate depression, which is what most people have. I mean, it may seem severe to your eyes, but if you've ever seen a profound depression, ooh, it's a qualitatively different thing. In a lot of respects, antidepressant medication doesn't work. Oh, it works, much as a placebo does. And placebos work. I mean, 50% of the time for most antidepressant research, people get better. Actually, they get better about two-thirds of the time, but 50% of it's generally considered the placebo effect. Now, why is this critical? Well, first of all, many people would say, and I'm in that group, that we are a horridly over-medicated society. Hardly so. We reach for the pill. And you've seen the advertisements on TV. Depression is an illness. Much like diabetes. Much like high blood pressure. Well, it's all in a matter of conceptualization. Yes, some depression is serious. It is definitely serious. There's something biochemically, and we can't really pin down what all of it is because it's probably very complex and there's probably many, many pathways. But that kind of depression is a serious thing. I mean, it can radically alter who people are. But there is a whole group of depressions that certainly can be life-affecting. No question about that. Nobody's arguing that. But they're not illnesses. They spring forward from a reaction to stress, a reaction to a sad situation. They spring from faulty thinking, poor thinking. They spring from bad decisions, bad choices, all intertwined with maybe a temperament that's a bit on the blue side. In other words, it's complex. And it isn't what many would consider an illness, in the sense that there's nothing really notably wrong in the brain that we can find. Nevertheless, people in those situations tend to reach, as do many doctors, tend to push antidepressant medication. And now another big honking study comes out and says, oh, wait a minute. Those of you who have been on antidepressant medication for 4 years, maybe you ought to talk to your doctor about this. Maybe you ought to see if, in fact, what the basis of your depression is. Because, you know, there is research that also says that certain types of therapy, particularly cognitive behavioral therapy, where you look at the way a person thinks and you look at the way they see life and you try to identify faulty patterns and straighten them out, is just as effective as the medication. Or, how about this one? Exercise. Yeah. There are indications that an exercise regimen, jogging, aerobics, swimming, something that can make you move, get the juices flowing 2, 3, 4 times a week, can work as well as medication in many cases now. Eventually, reality wins. We may want to reach for a pill. We may want to think that every way that we approach life is somehow a function of a disease process if it goes awry. But in fact, when the research comes out, with enough honest people doing it, you find out maybe we're getting a little carried away with this. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, that's the number to call to get onto the program. A question about depression, question about medication, or just basically the grit of life.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at avemariafunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Capernaum, Calvary, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Transfiguration, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and those are just a few of the beautiful holy sites and holy cities you'll visit when you join me and author, speaker, and certified guide Steve Ray on our next pilgrimage to the Holy Land, June 3rd through the 13th of 2010. And your trip includes round-trip airfare from New York, three nights hotel along the Sea of Galilee, and five nights in Jerusalem. Plus, daily mass, daily talks and teachings for both Steve and myself, and of course, great food, fellowship, and an awful lot of fun. It's a life-changing and faith-growing experience. So join us, won't you, in the Holy Land next year, Steve Ray and myself, June 3rd through the 13th. Reservations may be obtained at Corporate Travel, 313-565-8888. Or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net at the Holy Land link.
An intellectual cheetah going from 0 to 60 miles an hour in short bursts. IQ spiking at 137 for two sentences at a time. Like a cheetah, can't keep it up for too long. It would be better to be an intellectual racehorse. Those guys can run fast for a quarter of a mile or more, right? How long do they? No, they run more than a quarter, right? Don't they run a mile or something? Mile and a quarter? They can average 39 miles an hour over that space. That's pretty good. Cheetah can kick it up to 60 or so, but that's only for a couple hundred yards. Maybe I'm an intellectual cheetah. I can hold it for a couple sentences, and I start sounding rather simple again. Dr. Ray Guarendi here, 877-573-7825. If the lines are busy, we're gonna get a call waiting. Yeah, I got to talk to Andrew about it. Yeah. Hi. I'm not here right now, but if you'll leave your name, your number, and your problem, we'll get back with you. Let's go to Debbie from Azerbaijan. She's not really from Azerbaijan. She's anonymous. She doesn't want to say where she's from, but we just routinely say you're from Azerbaijan because nobody knows where it is, and we need a place. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I got to say, I love your show. I'm a little nervous to be talking to you, but I do love your show.
Hey, Deb, I'm nervous to be talking to you, too. I have never talked with you before. This is the first time I've ever talked to you.
Well,
You're not even concerned about my nervousness. Go ahead, dear.
I have a very good reason to believe that my husband has just let our little girls be flower girls in his mom's third wedding without obviously talking to me yet. I just saw a note.
Well, he didn't want to talk to you, Deb. He knew what you'd say.
Exactly. Well, I want to support his mom and this new guy, but I'm not sure if I really want my little kids to go over and above and be flower girls because it kind of goes against what I've been taught, you know, with the Catholic teaching. And I'm not really sure how to approach her to kind of pull them out or talk to my husband about it, especially since she and I don't always get along that great.
Well, now, how did I know that was coming? Right?
You're really smart.
That's right. That's my intellectual cheetah. Do you suspect here, Deb, that your husband just, if having to choose between knowing how his wife thinks about this and knowing how his mother would react, if he'd say, you know, hey, Ma, no, we're gonna keep the girls. We really don't want to teach them that, three marriages is a good norm. Do you suspect that that's the case, and he just figured, okay, well, I'll try to slide it through and tell Deb I already committed?
I know he knows I probably wouldn't want to, but I know he never wants to do anything that makes his, that, you know, he just kind of tries to keep his mom happy. So I wouldn't want to do anything to affect that either, but, you know, he's also not Catholic, and neither are they, so it's not as big of a deal.
So they don't see any big deal in it. Yeah, they don't see any big deal in it, do they? This is just kind of the way it's done, right?
Right, and plus she thinks she had a good reason to get out of the other two.
Well, everybody I've ever dealt with thinks they have a good reason to get out when they leave.
And maybe she does,
said,
but...
Well, I've never dealt with anybody who has said to me, you know, I got a good marriage, but I'm selfish. I just want out. I haven't dealt with too many of those. Anyway, okay. Well, here's the crux of the matter, Deb. The crux of the matter is, how much is your husband unwilling to basically cooperate, go with his wife on this one against his mother? You know the history. You know that if you said, I just don't think this is good for the girls. It kind of trivializes marriage, and certainly we'll be there, but we're not going to take part in this celebration. Now, would he say, okay, Deb, well, I know you feel that strongly about it, okay. Or would he say, too bad, so sad, I already committed them and they're doing it?
It could be a little bit the latter. I think he'd stick with her more because he doesn't like, you know, upsetting her. And I know if I ask him about it, it's just going to probably create a big fight. So I'm kind of afraid of what to do.
Okay.
And maybe I just go with the flow.
Well, here's the thing. Now, you're not doing anything wrong because you know what your morals and values are. Unfortunately, he has decided, well, those aren't the morals and values I want my kids to have in this particular circumstance. Remember when you were in the seventh grade and you were afraid to ask somebody something, so you hypothetically asked them. You said, well, what if I were to ask you to come over, would you? Or when you got a little older and you set up one of your friends and said, well, why don't you ask him if he likes me? What if you did something similar with your husband? What if you said, you sit him down, look for the opening, and you say, if I were to bring up this whole matter with our girls being in your mom's third marriage, and the idea that I really, really don't want the girls to think that, you know, third marriage is as good a course of celebration as a first, how would you react? Try it.
Okay.
See if he says, well, I think that would just be stupid. Now, obviously, he may see right through you. He might say, well, you're not asking me, you are asking me.
Yes, he would.
But you're approaching it a little more delicately. And mm-hmm. And if you meet a cinder block wall and realize right away quick, this isn't going to go anywhere. I mean, he's going to flat out overrule me. He is not going to create this rift with his mother as he would see it. He already sees me as a problem where his mother is concerned. And there's absolutely no way he'll back down on this. Then I wouldn't even take it to the mat, Deb.
Yeah.
I would not. All it would do is just create another source of conflict.
Right.
So I would approach it from the perspective of, if I were to ask you, if I were to say about this, and do you think I'm foolish for thinking this way?
Okay.
And the other thing you got to watch, he might try to personalize it. He might try to say, well, Deb, I know you don't like my mom. And so this is really all coming down to whether you like my mom or whether you don't. And you don't see eye to eye with her on a whole lot of things. And this is just another one of them. And tell him this is not personal at all. This has nothing to do with your mother. This has everything to do with that third marriage and our little girls.
It does. Because the guy is a great guy. This should be the last one, I think. But it's... Yeah.
Do you know what the statistics are on third marriages? What percentage fail?
Oh, a decent number, I assume, but probably not as many as first.
An indecent number. It's almost 90%.
Yikes.
That's right. Because, and you could understand that, because the very same view of marriage, the very same characteristics, the very same judgment, the very same maturity, the very same qualities that a spouse brought into the first and second marriage, he's bringing into the third. So,
right.
All righty. Good luck there, my dear.
Hey, do you have an idea of how, as the kids get older, I should explain to them why we let them do it when we're telling them that
yes.
it's wrong?
At some point, you'd say, you know what, guys, Dad wanted to do this because it was his mother. He is not Catholic, so he doesn't see as big a problem with this as I do as a Catholic. As a result, I didn't want you being part of the marriage, because being part of that ceremony more or less says we agree with all this. And if you don't agree with it, which I didn't, I didn't want you to be part of it. Now, you were little kids, so you can't really be held accountable. You're just doing what your parent, in this case the more inveterate parent, told you to do. You know, don't worry. Let me give you this reassurance. I highly doubt that you're going to mess your little girls up regarding their view of marriage. Okay?
Okay.
That somehow, some way, you've taken a big chunk out of their respect for the beauty of marriage. I don't think so. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Hank. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. A.
Bye-bye. You're welcome, honey. Bye. Well, we got other calls. Lines are full. But I'm going to take a break here in about a minute or so it's not really fair for me to start somebody else out. Let me just comment on this situation some more. I'll head off the emails. Deb basically said there's no way her husband's going to budge. And that's what I read through it, didn't you? As a result, she has to decide if it's a battle she's flat out going to lose anyway, why even take on the battle? He knows how she feels. He knows how she thinks. He knows what she believes. This goes beyond feeling. This goes into belief at the core of her system. He knows it. But he is not willing. He is not willing to disappoint or frustrate or go against his mother. You hear what Deb said? He said, Sergeant, she said, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So, given all that, the question becomes, what is it about this mom that not only is she on her third marriage, but that her son is afraid to stand up to her, and she doesn't like her daughter-in-law? I'm just a guessing man, but I would wonder if this indicates a lot of difficult personality on mother-in-law's part. You got the complexities of the issue, which is mother-in-law doesn't like daughter-in-law. You ever notice how that is more often than father-in-law doesn't like son-in-law? You ever notice that? Maybe I'm off. I don't know. But it sure seems like you get a lot more mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. Friction. But it's going to be personalized. But some of this, in Dad's eyes, may be Deb's desire to go against his mother as their relationship has been characterized in the past. Who knows? Trying to think like a girl on this one. Think I'm doing okay. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
The Catholic Business Pages. Proud to serve our Michigan listeners. Sign up today and get 3 months free. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link and advertise your business today. Get connected.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
In 2009, the Put Out Into the Deep Men's Conference was held in 3 parts in 3 archdioceses of Detroit parishes. On Sunday, January 10th, we complete our coverage of these teachings on the Church's sacraments. Sacred Heart Major Seminary's Father Dan Trapp teaches on the anointing of the sick, and Father Ben Lutke teaches on confession.
And we need to encounter this Christ that frees us so that we can live, we can love, and we can grow as men of faith. You know, I'll tell you something. It takes guts to be Catholic in this world. It really does. And sometimes it even takes guts to go to confession.
Join us this Sunday afternoon at 2:30 for the third Put Out of the Deep mini-conference on the sacraments of the Church with Father Ben Lutke, Father Dan Trapp, and Deacon Steve Mitchell. Listen to your Catholic conference collection this Sunday afternoon at 2:30 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Are you a pro-life business professional? Isn't it about time you took a moral stand in your community? List your company in the Catholic Business Pages. Sign up today and get 3 months free. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link.
Jaw, if you're a guy. Chat, if you're a woman. Debate, if you're a man. Connect, if you're a woman. Verbal assault, if you're a guy. Share, if you're a lady. Fortunately, I can do both. Cutting across the communicative styles of males and females. This is Ray Grandy. I appreciate you very much. I'm privilege to broadcast from Dayton, Ohio, down here, not very, very close to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. If you are anywhere in the area, you can do this, or you're looking for one or two day trips. It's a great place to visit. There is the neatest stuff in there. You got little boys, they would go nuts on this stuff. They let them fly the F-104s. Yeah, they just say, here, you can take it off for a little bit. Well, okay, they don't. But all of the neat stuff is in there, man. This is not model stuff. This is real stuff sitting in there. Oh, yeah, they got heat-seeking missiles. You can go over and you can, you know, fire the heat-seeking missiles. Okay, you can't do that either, but it's pretty realistic in there. Let's get back to your calls. Keeping with the marital theme and all the complexities of that, let's go to Joan in Florida. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
You there? I got you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clear.
I'm on a cell phone in a car, so I don't know if you can hear me or not.
I got you. You're on the air, dear.
You got me?
Yep.
Okay. Should I just say my question now? This is the first
sure.
time I've done this. Okay.
Sure.
I have a daughter, my daughter and grandson, I mean, daughter and son-in-law, have two children, a boy and a girl. And my grandson announced that he was getting married and was going to get married in 2009. However, he didn't make any plans. So my granddaughter got engaged right after, and she decided to get married in 2010. And she made her plans, you know, with the church, with the hall and everything. And then my grandson...
Yeah, it's a girl thing. They're better at that.
Yeah. And then, well, then my grandson and his girlfriend decide, well, they're going to get married 2010, the beginning of May. And my granddaughter was going to get married the end of May.
Now, this is a brother and sister?
Brother and sister. So now when the brother and his girlfriend announces it to his sister and her fiance,
She went nuts.
She doesn't.
She went nuts.
No, she. Well, not right away. At first, she just said, "Oh, that's nice." But she, you know, the next day she woke up and she has this a different reaction, and she's saying, "Well, that's awful close to my wedding, and you know, it's going to take away from me and all that. And what about mom and dad? You know, it's going to be expensive for them." So now, my grandson's fiance thinks about it and says, You lied to me. You told me it was okay. You lied to me. You were disrespectful to me, and you need to grow up and mature.
How does all of this childishness and immaturity impact upon you, Joan?
Well, initially,
what are you caught in here?
Okay, I'm the grandparent, right? I'm the grandmother. Okay.
So you got to go to both weddings.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel as though I got to go to both weddings. But it looks like now the son and his fiance might not invite the sister and her fiance to their wedding because so much has been going on.
Joan, can I help you out here, honey? Can I help you out?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say for sure, but as potentially ugly as all that is, and it certainly sounds like it's going to do that,
mm-hmm.
Stay out of it.
Right.
All
I am trying to stay out of it. But the
go
thing
to the
is,
weddings.
Go to the wedding?
That's it.
Both weddings.
Yep.
Okay.
Stay out of it. You go to
she
one or the
only,
other. You're picking sides.
She not only said some ugly things to the sister, you know, my grandson's sister, but she also said some awful ugly things to my daughter. And now my daughter is going to go to
the wedding. She can say ugly things to anybody. She can say ugly things to anybody, but that doesn't put you in a position to say, okay, therefore, because your fiance is a bad-mouthing, nasty person, I'm not going. Because what you'll then do is you'll cause problems with your grandson, and you will cause problems with his mother and his father. All you do is you are Switzerland. You are neutral. You just simply say, I'm just going to the weddings and praying for each couple. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the sides are. I don't know the situation. Be ignorant. I guarantee you, you get caught up in that quagmire, and you're going to go down.
Okay.
Okay, keep yourself out of that.
My daughter likes to call and tell me what's going on because she feels as though she needs to talk to somebody. So I do know a lot of things that's going on.
You can listen. You know a lot of things that's going on from her side.
Please?
You know a lot of things that's going on from her side.
Yeah.
I am sure that if you talk to any other person involved in this, you're going to get a different story. Now, your daughter may be the one that's right on accurate. I don't know. But I do know that when you get these kind of ugly disagreements, perceptions rule the day. And your daughter's perception of her future, once again, here we go with the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law thing. It's just, oh boy, starting right out of the chute. Negatively, but you can listen and you can talk and you can reinforce the fact that, well, I've just got to be neutral. I've got to support both kids and go to the weddings and hopefully they'll work it out within themselves. Because you got no leverage otherwise. You got no dog in this hunt. Okay, Joan, thank you, dear. I'll talk to you. We do. You see family members creating these rifts. Here they come. These rifts are going to become gulches, are going to become chasms, are going to become Grand Canyons. You see it coming. You know it. And you stand helplessly by thinking, what can I do? Now the sad reality is much of the time you can't do anything. Can't do anything. I've written some of my best letters. I thought, anyway, most poignant, most emotionally touching, most thoughtful, most compassionate and tender and kind and loyal and true blue and trustworthy. I've written letters like this to certain very close people in my life. And after I wrote the letter, I received a letter in return that said, oh, Ray, thank you so much. You've cleared my eyes. I knew I could count on you to help me sort through reality and become a better person. And even though what I may have heard in your letter was difficult to accept, after I thought about it and prayed about it, I've come to the conclusion that indeed like you so often are in life, Ray, you're absolutely on target. Not. No, the letters basically ticked the people off. I'm over. I thought they were nice letters. I thought they were very sweet. I thought they were kind. I good grammar, too. I mean, if I'd have given them to Mrs. Eldridge, my sixth grade teacher, I would have got an A plus for grammar and maybe a B minus for content. And a few red pens in the margins saying, see me about sentence construction. But other than that, I had real hope that those letters were going to do something to make things better. And they didn't. And they didn't. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just simply saying sometimes you really got to accept your helplessness in some of these emotional family conflicts. And you're sitting there thinking, what can I do to make it better? What can I do to make it better? And sometimes you can't. That's tough. That's tough. Vicky from Sparks, Nevada. Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
Hey, Vicky. How are you?
Well, I'm hoping you can give me some ideas on how to make it better around here.
Yeah? You want me to write you a letter?
Well, actually, my daughter's the one who's doing all the writing.
And I know she ain't writing good letters, is she?
No. Mm-hmm. And she didn't write them to me.
Who'd she write them to?
Actually, she writes stories that are borderline pornography. Mm-hmm. And I asked her where she got these ideas from. She's 14 and a sophomore in high school. And we monitor
Well, there
what
it is.
Reads.
You've just said it. Where did she get these ideas from? She's 14 and a sophomore in high school. There you go.
Really?
Well,
that's
I'm being
just
facetious.
Just the way it goes? How do you stop the train wreck?
I know, Vicky. You're right. I'm being facetious, but that certainly is a component because how sad that our children are hypersexualized.
I am 50 years old. I started motherhood later than some, so I'm stunned. That's why I said really when you said that, because I am an older mom, and when I was 14, we really weren't thinking about this stuff. But now she's
you're right.
At a high school where if you go down the wrong corridor, it belongs to lesbians, and you don't get to go there.
Right, right. And you're absolutely correct. I think, and I don't know the specifics in your case, but generically speaking, I think it would be pretty safe to say that your daughter is immersed in a hypersexualized adolescent culture, peer culture. Some of it rubs off on her. Maybe a lot of it rubs off on her. It's titillating.
She takes it out. She's very curious.
Mm-hmm. And so what she's doing is she's, how shall we say, giving expression to this curiosity.
Well, and she does like to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this may be her way of tap dancing around sexual forbidden fruit as she sees it without actually doing anything about it yet. Have you confronted her?
Oh, yes, we had a discussion. It turns out it's one of the authors that I thought was okay. Well, this author also writes romance novels for grown women that are borderline porn. And I didn't know my daughter was reading that because I figured this lady, I'd already checked her out. My daughter is very embarrassed. Just basically she asked to go to confession before I found out. It was on her heart, within her. And I think that means a great deal to me.
Sure.
And I think it says a lot about Sarah Ann. So we went to confession, and she likes to go to weekly confession now. I don't know if she's doing something bad every week and then wanting to go confess it, the silly thing people make up about Catholics, but she wants to go, so we go. We're just back at the church for a year, and she's been advanced a grade, which we wouldn't do over again, but we did it. Did the best we could at the time.
Let me throw this at you. Kids nowadays pull a lot more of these kinds of stunts because they live in that environment, and the average parent is, I don't want to say clueless, but dramatically underestimates the worldliness, the secularization, the sexualization, the all-out flirtation with immorality of the peer culture. The average parent just underestimates it. The average parent doesn't understand the language these kids use. You walk the halls of your average middle school and listen to the language, you'd be shocked. So given that, your daughter, who is expressive, who likes to read, and who happened to get her hands on a few books that really weren't good for her young mind that you're trying to guide towards some kind of chastity and purity, all the ingredients came together, and she figures, okay, well, I'll try my hand at all this. Okay, you've talked about it with her. You've given her some direction. You're going to be much more scrutinizing of what she reads. And maybe you ought to check into some of, maybe it's time to check into some of the books that are out there, some of the programs that are out there on purity and chastity and looking at. You know, there are great books for adolescents out there. Jason Everett has done some stuff.
We can't find his stuff anywhere. I looked him up on the internet, Catholic internet sites.
He's at Catholic Answers. Go to Catholic Answers. Just Catholic.com.
Okay.
That's where it is. Okay, it's there. Also, there are other books. Pam Stenzel is a nice educator on this. I know Colleen Mast, who does a show on Mondays and Fridays, has got a lot of stuff on this. There are, I think, on the theology of the body stuff, there is material for kids. So you might tell her, you like to read, sweetie? Okay, then you and I are going to read some of this stuff together. We're gonna counterbalance some of this junky stuff that has made its entrance into your life, and we will take a look at how God designed all this stuff and why He thinks it is better to have a certain approach to your sexuality.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I certainly wouldn't look at your daughter and say, oh, no, she's twisted and she's gone down the wrong road. Probably not. But, again, it was one of those little detours she took for the moment, and she seems to be righting herself. We'll just keep an eye on this in the future so she doesn't slip back into some more of it.
All right. It's a good attention getter, so we'll take it from
all right,
her.
Vicki. Thank you.
Dear.
I'll see you. Bye. I was sitting in Wendy's the other day doing some work, and there were three or four kids just sitting at the next table. Looked to be, I don't know, 16-ish. 15, 16, maybe 17. I'm sure glad my kids weren't with me. Sure glad my younger ones weren't with me. Oh, man, I don't want to sit and listen to that language. And the interesting thing of it was, it was not titillating language for them. It was routine. It was, this is how we talk. This is the adjective that I use. These are the nouns. This is how I describe things. And it just rolls off my tongue like the word it, like is, like the word vicissitudes would roll off my tongue. Yeah, it's interesting. All righty, this is Dr. Ray here, AveMariaRadio.net. Is the website for Ave Maria Radio. EWTN.com, of course, Global Catholic Radio, who all of their independents and affiliates are gracious enough to carry this program. Sirius Satellite, Channel 160, carries program. Just remember 160, my IQ. It's easy enough to remember. Well, okay, double my IQ. What else? DrRay.com, my website. DrRay.com. Anything else? Break.
Now on DVD, unlock the mystery of the world's most famous star.
As I came across an article by a PhD astronomer that took the position the star was a real astronomical event. Whether they believe in God or not, they're going to show you this shot.
Compelling scientific theory that the Star of Bethlehem existed from a cynic's point of view.
That's what John saw.
Can a star stop? How can a star stop?
From the Passion of the Christ producer Stephen McAveety, the Star of Bethlehem.
Because if we found the star and a reasonable person could conclude that we have, well, then the star was part of the natural order.
BethlehemStar.net to see with your own eyes as the Magi did.
Why are parents so nervous nowadays about being parents? I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I will tell you part of the reason is me. The experts. We've got you thinking, what do you know? You're just a mom. You can stumble your way along. Hopefully you won't mess it up too bad. But if you want to be a 1990s kind of on top of things, psychological cutting edge father or mother, you got to be state certified, congressionally mandated, child development rearing, psychomental, international on Oprah specialist. Look what we have done. We have made you overthink, overanalyze, overinterpret, second guess. Now, did I handle that right? Is that what I should have said? Was that an I message or was that a you message? Should I have used a natural consequence there or a logical consequence? Is it 1 minute in the timeout chair for every year of age or 1 year for every minute of age? I get that one so confused. How can you know if you're being psychologically correct? Can you go out and take a poll of 150 experts every time you make a move? Have you noticed we can't agree? You got to consult the consummate expert, your mother-in-law. If you constantly are second-guessing your decisions every step of the way to match them for some book in the sky that says this is the psychologically right way to raise children, you will turn this into a long process of applying the formulas and not the relationship of love and discipline that God meant it to be. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. When banjo music's playing. You ever notice that?
You could come home and say, I lost my job. Boss hates me. Says he's never going to write me a letter of recommendation. Can't believe it. Wrecked the car on the way home. I was so preoccupied. And the Browns lost. Of course, if your wife's understanding, she'd say, oh, honey, that's terrible. What a rough day. And then you, being a man, can say, yeah, and they had an 11-point lead gone into the fourth quarter, too.
This is Ray Guarendi. Thank you for being with me. Just a comment on, where was our caller here from? Vicki from Sparks, Nevada. She said she felt good because her 14-year-old daughter, who had been mimicking some softcore porn stuff that she had read from an author that mom thought was trustworthy, wanted to go to confession. And mom says, well, gee, she wants to go to confession every week, and that makes me nervous. Why does she want to go every week? Is she doing something wrong every week? Well, we know not necessarily, but I didn't get a chance to tell Vicki this. Hey, Vicki, you know, you can't go and ask your daughter, so what'd you tell father? You can't do that. But you can get an idea. You got to go in the back door. So, yeah, honey, what did father give you for penance? I mean, you know what they got for penance? You can kind of reason backward to how rot gut they were. When my daughter Sarah was about 14, she came home with, she asked for tape. I said, why? Father gave me this penance. What, Sarah? I have to put tape across my mouth. How long? For the day. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or even a shrink to speculate on what she told him. At the very least, you knew it had something to do with her mouth. Of course, me knowing Sarah, that was no shock. Okay, let's talk to Mary from Washington. She's been waiting a long time. Hi, Mary.
Hi, I'm on a speakerphone. Can you hear me, doctor?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm calling basically because my daughter called me. She has a problem with her son who acts up a lot in class. They've done a lot of different things, such as taking away the TV and the games that go with it and DS and all that other stuff. The other thing they've done is positive reinforcement after a week of school if he's behaved. Then they buy him something. Right now, his mother is not taking him to school because she's going to work, but his father's taking him to school, and they think that might be part of the problem. The latest thing was that he was so loud in class that he was asked to be removed from the classroom, his own classroom, instead of one of
Let me jump in here. There is a gazillion reasons why kids misbehave in class. A gazillion. I have no idea what his particular reason is. I would offer you several things. One, if mom and dad themselves are having discipline problems with this kid, and by the way, 9 out of 10 times that is the case, then what he's doing in class is just a reflection of how he's learned to misbehave for his parents because they've allowed it in most cases. So if he is running roughshod over a teacher, it may be because that teacher's not very strong, but that's irrelevant. Mom and dad, if there's nothing else wrong, if the kid is not diagnosed with some other condition, then in fact it is just a behavior problem. I shouldn't say just, because behavior problems can be quite serious. If this is simply a behavior problem without anything else going on, then mom and dad need to look at their own parenting and become better at this, stronger at this, better disciplinarians. And I would recommend them setting up a system. Every day, that little guy comes home with a rating. Excellent, good, fair, poor.
From the teacher.
Depending upon that rating, by the teacher.
Yes.
Mom, dad, establish what happens to him at home. A poor, he's shut down for the night. He has absolutely no privileges of any kind, and he goes to bed early. He does not get dessert. He does not get to go outside. He does not get TV. He does not get the computer. He doesn't get to play. He doesn't get his toys. He doesn't get stuffed animals. He doesn't get any privileges at all. None. Zero, zip, not. If they go out to eat, he watches.
Okay.
He eats before he leaves. Now, if he gets a fair, he can't go outside, can't watch TV, and he goes to bed early. If he gets a good, well, he gets standard privileges. If he gets an excellent, give him a little extra treat. Maybe some ice cream, maybe 20 minutes later, bedtime, something.
Hey. Sorry, doctor, I'm not good at speed writing. I got the fair. I've got the poor. What's the good, please?
Good's normal. No more, no less. Standard privileges.
Standard. Got it.
And the excellent, I let them add something, whatever they want. Now, the key to this whole thing is that rating comes home every day. And if it doesn't, it is automatically assumed to be a poor.
Okay.
So he can't say, I forgot it. I left it at school, and it was an excellent. It was an excellent plus plus check plus excellent. No, it's a poor. I think in most cases like this, if the parents back up the school on a daily basis, the kid gets dramatically better. When I found out my son in kindergarten pulled a stunt on his teacher, I'll tell you what, when I found out about it, oh, baby! What she did to him was the least of his worries. He was blacked out. He wrote an essay. He bought her a new Corvette. He had all kinds of consequences because I basically said to him in so many words, this isn't going to happen.
Okay.
All right. Hey, good luck, Mary. I got to go to Robin real quick.
One question.
Yeah.
He wanted to cut his hair. That's a big no, right?
Who wanted to cut his hair?
The parents.
Parents are allowed to cut a kid's hair. He's only 6 years old. They make a decision.
Well, they
if his hair's scraggly, they should probably cut it anyway.
They wanted to cut his hair as a form of discipline.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just what you just said to me tells me that those parents aren't as confident in dealing with this kid as they could be. Robin from Azerbaijan. Hey, Robin. Are you there?
Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm here.
You know, Andrew made the observation that we got to stop saying that the folks who are anonymous are from Azerbaijan, because he said everybody now is becoming from Azerbaijan.
From Azerbaijan, that's right.
You all know who you are because you all live there.
That's right.
There's not even a Russian accent to the one of you.
I'll have to work on that.
You found out your daughter wasn't where she was supposed to be, huh?
I found out she wasn't where she was supposed to be.
I'm glad you found out.
I am too, and now I need some fortitude. I'm hoping you can give it to me. And
I'm going to give you fortitude, sixitude, and eightitude. Where's your husband in this?
Oh, he's right with me.
Okay.
He's right with me. We found out together. She was on her phone after hours, and so we took the phone. And having the opportunity to have the phone, we discovered some other things.
No!
Yes.
That's such a shocker, Robin.
And so, of course, we were up all night trying to figure this out. And
how
the first
old is
thing,
she, hon?
She's 17.
17. And how long she had that phone?
Since she started high school.
Oh, back around 14, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, the phone is a link to her world that she can get into that you don't really have a whole lot of part of until you found out about it, huh?
Right. And as I look back on it now, I really, this has been a kind of a quick and rapid descent.
education
as I look
on your
back
part.
Over, you know, the whole high school experience, I really peg this kind of behavior starting at about a month ago. So maybe it had been in an incubation period before that.
Oh, my dear, you started it about a month ago because you just became aware of it about a month ago.
It's only about a month ago that there were even any questions.
Well, then she's either really, really good and you're really, really trusting, or something just kind of happened all at once. And generally, it doesn't happen all at once. Okay, a boy has to enter the scene or some friend who's kind of started pulling her in a certain direction. But for the most part,
I think that's what happened. I think the calendar turned the page and she realized it was her senior year and she started to develop a new group of friends.
That may be, Robin, that may be, but I guess my caution.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
it. Is that the ground had to be soft for that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'll tell you what, can you call back tomorrow? We'll put you first up.
Okay.
Okay, can you do that, dear? Anytime you call back, we'll put you first up. All right, because
okay.
We just ran out of time. Thank you, honey. This Dr. Ray ran out of time. What a miscalculating amateur. Hey, I appreciate it. Keep an eye on those kids. Thanks, Dayton. Walk with God. You got kids? Better hold them tight by the hand. Check those text messages while you're doing it.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Capernaum, Calvary, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Transfiguration, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and those are just a few of the beautiful holy sites and holy cities you'll visit when you join me and author, speaker, and certified guide Steve Ray on our next pilgrimage to the Holy Land, June 3rd through the 13th of 2010. And your trip includes round-trip airfare from New York, three nights hotel along the Sea of Galilee, and five nights in Jerusalem. Plus, daily mass, daily talks and teachings for both Steve and myself, and of course, great food, fellowship, and an awful lot of fun. It's a life-changing and faith-growing experience. So join us, won't you, in the Holy Land next year, Steve Ray and myself, June 3rd through the 13th. Reservations may be obtained at Corporate Travel, 313-565-8888. Or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net at the Holy Land link.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Christians the world over just celebrated the Nativity of our Lord. But who is this divine man? Why do so many people in our culture hate him so? Why do we love him so much? Father Ricardo provides the answers on our program this week with, Who is Jesus? Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 9.